Hi and welcome to the Sunday Lunch Project Manager podcast for Sunday, the 9th of October 2022. This is your host, Nigel Creaser, and this week we've got the second part of my interview with Victoria McKenna, the fashionable project manager. Just thinking there, you've got your project interview, and I mentioned earlier on the fact that obviously 2014, you know, that major life change. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that and kind of then and then kind of how we moved the rest of your story on into what you're doing now?
Okay, so what I can say about the stroke, basically I attribute it to putting my body through very little sleep, looking after it very poorly for, you know, 10 years. And yeah, that career did, as much as I loved that career, it did take its toll on my body. And also I was involved, my very last project I was involved there was an individual who had a reputation for being unpleasant, but this person made my life a living hell day in, day out, I would say, for 6 months. And that was the tipping point for me, and I couldn't take it anymore. I started not being able to cope. Whereas I'd been this, you know, strong woman, I'm going to fight every day to, you know, get things done. And I loved that. Suddenly something snapped, and it became horrific. And I don't know what was, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back, but I know this particular project really pushed me over the edge. And
I know how you feel.
And then I was organizing my wedding. I got married. We went on the honeymoon. And I think 2 weeks or a week after the honeymoon, I can't even remember, 1 or 2 weeks after, I just had a stroke. That was it.
Yeah.
Game over. Because of all the, you know, I'd been suffering from migraines every single weekend. You know, I was, you know, taking the pill and whatever, and you combine those two, it's terrible anyway. But you know, there were all sorts of little warning signs that I just arrogantly ignored, which, you know, I could have done something about it, but sadly that was the end of that career. Just like that. And I had to, I can't remember if I even rang my, I don't think I rang my line manager at the time. I was a contractor.
Yeah.
But I literally emailed and said, I'm not coming back from the hospital bed. Just like that, it was done. Yeah. And I thought, God, I've pushed myself too far this time.
I think you're a little bit hard. I don't know the situation, but you sound a little bit harsh on yourself there. And
it's frustrating.
Yeah, I think the thing is, when you look back on things, I have been through last year, I was off for 5 months with stress, and through some of the conversations and some of the counseling there, it kind of realized I've kind of was holding mice as well as the situation, not the same, and not as extreme, but I was in something, high pressure, a lot of stress. I wasn't, and we blasted COVID on there as well, which didn't help with the stress levels for any of us really. I just found myself unable to function as a project manager. That, as you, I think you said about this capable woman who's been able to deal with anything, and I imagine that that capable person was able to juggle 150 things all in one go, be able to make sure lots going on, understand that, be able to at the top drop of a hat react and change. And then I don't know if it was the same for you, but suddenly I found I couldn't manage multiple things at the same time. And not at the same time, but you know what I mean? I had a lot of things going on. I was able to deal with those and context switch really quickly. But I found that difficult. And then when I was focusing on specific things, I just couldn't focus. And my focus gradually got worse and worse and worse. And similar sort of thing. You see, you're nodding there. And it's one of those things you sit there and you think, well, that's not me.
Mm.
Hang on. I can deal with this. What's going on? And that I found that really scary at that time. And is that a similar sort of experience that you had?
Yeah. I mean, I think I have no doubt I would still be a project manager now. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying it's a terrible career to get into or anything, but if I had given myself
a break, yeah.
And had taken holidays, because I never did, because I was a contractor.
Yeah.
And I just had this mindset that I'm contractor, right? That means I can never take a break.
Yeah.
Because if I take a break, I don't get paid. But there's more to life than working.
Yeah.
Every single day of life. But yeah, and I think finding the coping mechanisms as well. So if you do start to feel like it's just all becoming so overwhelming, then it is time to, I don't know, go and get a therapist or just anything.
I agree. Last year, I as part of my recovery, I had therapy, and from a stress point of view, and I've said it on the show before, it, anyone that is feeling stressed, I think the difficulty is knowing that you need that help. I was stood outside my office door here. I couldn't come into this office because I was scared of the next email that was coming in. I still get quite emotional now when I talk about it. I try to talk about it as much as I can, to be honest. And I think that I'd lost my train of thought there, but it was that, sorry, the therapy side of it, because of where I'm working, really good access. And I got access to it and the conversations I had with my therapist. And it was kind of a little bit where I was leading to before, was around that I was holding myself up to a standard and to a level of performance in both work and all manner of bits of life. And it's gone back over years that perhaps I didn't need to, perhaps I shouldn't do. And I think we do that as project managers. We are in a lonely place quite often, in that you're there and whilst your manager will empathize with you, they're removed from what's really going on. They just want their outputs. The team, if you're doing the job right, you're subservient to the team. You're there to support them. You're there to help them get what they've got to get done.
Yeah.
And you end up giving away you to those two groups of people. And because you think, well, they need me and they need me. And I'm that linchpin in the middle. And sometimes you've got to give yourself a break, haven't you? And I think it's not just in project. I think in all walks of life, sometimes we can hold ourselves up as being a superhero, and I don't claim to be one, but you're more robust than because we're all fragile at the end of the day. And there were, as you say, there's the straw that broke the camel back. There's something that eventually that emotional well just overflows, and then bang, your body starts going into protection mode, shutdown mode, and does what it does to try and protect you in all manner of different ways. And it's scary time. I imagine that time for you as well. Obviously, you said it took you 2 years of recuperation in your thing. How did that go? Was it how did that happen? How did you deal with that? I don't know the words to use.
Yeah, I know, it's a bit of a weird one. Well, I didn't. I suppose it didn't feel very real actually to begin with, but then I didn't really deal with it very well. I was quite upset because I lost all my colleagues who, you know, some of those were friends because I was spending so much time with these people.
Yeah.
That was my life. And I had gotten married. Although that marriage did come to an end quite quickly after the stroke. Which these things happen. But I ended up I'd married someone in the RAF, so I ended up, when he was away on tour, in this house on my own, thinking, what am I going to do? Because I couldn't do a lot of things. Not, I mean, I was functioning. I didn't, you know, my face is fine, you can see. I still have pins and needles in one side. But at that point, things were a struggle, like making a cup of tea took real focus for quite some time. So I knew that I couldn't just go out and get a job. I couldn't even be a project support. I was just not capable of doing spreadsheets or anything. So then I sort of sat down one day and I'd managed to save a lot of money whilst being a PM.
Yeah.
So I had all these savings and I thought, right, well, I don't really see what else I can do now, so I might as well just do anything. So I thought, right, I'm just going to start a fashion brand. So I just basically started from the bottom, looking at business accounts and how it all worked. And I basically had to do all this research. And obviously with my then husband away so much, I just spent a lot of time doing that and made the decision. And it came together very, very slowly though. It took a lot of research, like how do you set up a company on Companies House? It was like that basic kind of, right, I have to learn to do everything again. But I used it as just an opportunity to follow my pipe dream, as it were. I thought, right, well, maybe that's why my body stopped me, because that actually wasn't with going with my what my heart wants, or, you know, however you want to phrase it.
I get that. It's that things happen, whether you believe in fate, whether a higher power or something like that. Actually, it doesn't really matter one way or the other. It's making, and I think you said something similar to this about is making something of what is happening. And it's kind of, as you say, you've gone there and gone, right, okay, so this is the situation. What am I going to do with this situation? And you've from, I remember right, award-winning designs and stuff like that that you've had, and you kind of go, well, yeah, it may have not been the grand plan. It may not have been the preferred at the time, but actually, it sounds like it's going in the right direction from what I've seen looking on the outside. And it is one of those things where you can just go, right, okay, right, that's great. And a bit of the learning as well, where with the screw-ups, when you learned from your screw-ups to actually place the orders this time, those adversities help us learn something and change something and adapt to something. And that's the point again, as long as you learn from it, you can do something with it, can't you?
Yeah.
So tell us about that journey then, about your, did you run it as a project? Did you put a project plan together about setting up your business and all that? And how did your PM skills come into play in that? And I'm sure there will be elements of them that did, or you'll be like the typical, in quotes, mechanic, like my brother, the old thing, or the account, the mechanic whose car's always breaking down, or the accountant who's got no money. Are you the PM who never uses any PM skills?
Well, I don't know if I should be embarrassed, but I did actually get all my PM stuff out. I made a project timeline and all sorts.
Good.
I remember looking at it going, that's it. That's where I'm going to be. And that never happened.
But it doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter. This is the thing I bang on about. It's about, I was chatting to someone earlier about project management is a life skill. Yeah. It's not just for managing projects. It's for managing change, managing something different. And we all do that all the time in our lives, whether it be a recipe is a project plan. When you're cooking something, you've got your requirements, which is the picture at the end. You've got your your resources that are there, that's in there, and then you've got a plan on what to do with it. It tells you when to do it and what the timeline is, and you could turn that into a Gantt chart. I rant on about this a little bit. I think I'm glad that, because, and maybe it's just me, because I use my tools at home as well and get heads shaken by my teenagers of what the heck I'm doing. And then I was quite pleased the other week where she was come home from school, she'd written some on her hand and she was doing something on her phone. So get off the phone, you're having tea. I'm just writing this down. All right, what are you doing? I'm just writing into my Trello board. She's I've convinced her that's really good, that she's using for planning ideas for books and stories and stuff. So it's kind of like, yes, my work is done here. I've instilled some project management skills of work out what you can do, break it down. So I bet you you've still got that Gantt chart as well, haven't you?
Yeah, it'll be somewhere. It's tucked away though. I don't think I can bring myself to look at it.
So how long's the brand been going now then? How's all the business?
So the original fashion brand. Mm-hmm. So I launched the first collection in 2018. Right, so it took about a year and a half to get from designs on paper to actual products.
Yeah. Okay.
And then just before lockdown, this is by pure chance, I just decided to launch some activewear, sportswear. Yeah. And that obviously really took off during lockdown, which was a saving grace for me, because my original collections are silk blouses, and you know, they're not needed in lockdown, are they? Let's face it.
No, that's not the going out and wearing something like that isn't what anyone was doing. It's, as you say, it's more comfort and exercise stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. So after that, when things started reopening up again, sales just fell off a cliff. Mainly because everyone had been buying all these clothes and all these gadgets and whatnot during lockdown, having a whale of a time.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they've got all this stuff that they actually need to use and they don't need anymore. So that's what's happened with retail, basically. And so because I actually taught myself how to add branding to my own activewear, because I wasn't because I just wanted to do it myself. I still have that control thing.
Sometimes if you can understand how you can do it, when someone else is doing it for you, you understand the process, and then you understand how good it can be.
Yeah.
Or what they're doing wrong or whatever. So you can do that. And I can imagine, I know that my brother's done some stuff with the, I'm not sure if it's the same sort of thing, but with t-shirts and things like that. Yeah. And he's learned a lot of lessons when he was doing it. And there's certain things that, you know, work, and certain things that cause other things to happen. And
But that's how the Shopee t-shirts was born, really, because, I realized I wasn't really going to sell much activewear for quite a time. And I thought, gosh, well, what can I do? I know, let's just do this for a laugh. Shopee t-shirts, that's funny. I think I came up with that before bed one night, something like that. And then it allows me to create things and make stuff. I like making. I've been having a lot of orders from businesses for logo printing, things like that. And it's just, it's gone in all different directions now, which is great fun. So
brilliant. So it's obviously, it's that a real example of, for me anyway, from a project manager, I put my project management hat on, of you've taken that project, the fashion wear, and then you've got hit by something, an issue, a risk, and you've changed direction again. And then it comes the end of that and you've replanned and you've changed direction again. And it's kind of that mind of great, how do we solve the problem? How do we get to the next step? Not that mind we're doomed here. And it's what a project manager needs, isn't it? And it's those skills and basic things of we've got a problem, how do we solve it? How many times do you drag everyone together on the phone call? You're just saying a flat tire on the way to somewhere, or don't know, a digger sticks a back actor through a cable under the ground or whatever, which I know these things happen with when you're doing network type stuff. Or they drill a hole through the wrong wall that you've got landlord permissions to do, and actually find out you've got to do it through the other wall, and that wall is a different landlord or whatever, and things, all those sort of crazy things. But you work out, and that's where you learn those things to swap and twist around to do stuff at the moment. And it's kind of that I can see how you're doing that in your new business and your as an entrepreneur.
And it's really it like that, but
I think at the whole entrepreneurial take up again, if you're an entrepreneur and you are not someone who manages your projects and has that adaptability, then you're not going to succeed very well, I don't think. And it's that adaptability and that make a plan. As you say, in 2028, I bet you'll lift out that Gantt chart and you're going to have a look at it and just have a look and see what it's like. I would. 10 years and see what. But how many business plans do you get from the top industries, the top people in their industry? And if they bring out their latest, the next 10-year plan that they produce to the stock exchange, I bet they don't look at it 10 years later, and I bet it doesn't look anything like what they've written down. But you've got to have that direction of travel, haven't you, to be able to decide whether you do change left and right. And that's why business plans exist, which are basically project plans. So everything is a project plan in my head.
Yeah. I agree.
Your business plan, you look at that, you go, well, that's a business case for my business. It's a business case. it's the same as you'd have for a project plan. It's a project initiation document, whatever you want to call it. It's the same bleeding thing. Why do we want to do something? What do we want to do? How are we going to do it? Who's going to do it? And when are we going to do it by? And how much is it going to cost? But that's all part of what we're going to need to do it. So where next for you then? So what the next, well, let's say by 2028, what's happening with you, with the Victoria J. McKenna brand and with the Shroppy t-shirts? What's the plan?
Well, obviously have the little addition.
Yeah.
So she's changed quite a few things. Obviously she's my priority, partner works 5 days a week. So yeah. I'm with her 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
During the day, and then I do any work in the evenings, really. But I'm also editor of a local magazine.
Yeah, I saw that. It's Austria Life, isn't it?
Yeah, Austria Life, and it's beautiful Shropshire. Mm. So that's something else that I do, and some copywriting for other businesses on the side. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. I think it's changing. Yeah. The brand, I'm really proud of the brand, and I don't want to let it go.
It's kind of one of the things when I saw it and I went on there, I'm like, this is excellent. And as you say, you can, I'm sure that the demand for silk is and going out clothes and things like that is going to lift up, isn't it, over the next 12, 18 months as people get confident that actually, yes, we are out of this damn thing. Because I still think there is that little bit of a, are we out yet? You're seeing more people out as Mickey Flanagan would say, and that's it, isn't it? I don't know what your kind of customers were and what sort of area, but again, if it's customers who are buying stuff for work and being in offices and things like that, there's more coming back together in offices than there was before. It's like with me, it's very rare that I'm outside of a t-shirt and a pair of shorts most of the time nowadays, whereas I used to be in a pair of chinos and a shirt and a jumper, and you know what I mean? It's kind of now if unless it's really cold, it's nearly always shorts and flip-flops. It's kind of that's going to change again, isn't it? And I suppose your demand will come up again.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to have to see, because the silk blouses were sort of occasion wear. So it needs some work, I think, now to, I mean, people's priorities have definitely shifted. I don't really know if they'll come back to how it used to be. So
heels is the one that I've been talking to people about, and that seemed to be a least popular thing. Because heels, high heels.
Right.
Most people I've talked to have kind of gone, actually, they're really uncomfortable, which everyone knows they are, and people have got used to not wearing them and therefore don't wear them. It seems to be a couple of conversations I've had. Maybe that's not true. Maybe it is. But I think little things like that, there are people saying, I'm never wearing heels again, I've had say to me. So that's quite interesting in that. I know nothing about fashion, as you can tell by my dress sense. But so thank you so much for being on the show. I've got a load of questions that I would normally ask people. And at the end, a couple of them not as relevant to you, I think, but a couple of them have around for people who've been in it as a PM and managed projects. They're seasoned, they know what they've been around the block a few times. Yeah. From your experience, what tip would you give them? What top tip would you say at that point that they should think about in their project, or what they are doing now and what they might change?
For people that are already
already in, know what they're doing. Yeah.
Gosh. I guess it would have to be around, you know, your mental health.
Yeah.
Really. I think it's so important. It's such a demanding job role that I completely underestimated it when I, you know, went in for that. But really, to perform at that higher pace, producing that amount of work, which I imagine it's pretty much the same across industries. I can't imagine it would be any different.
Yeah.
You really should, I think, take time to look after yourself and take holidays.
I think that's fantastic advice.
So important. And I wish I had.
Yeah. Yeah. I that holiday point, when you said it before, is something that I know when I've got contractors, I understand the resistance to want to take it, because you don't know because you're on a couple of weeks' notice, that contract could finish bang like that. And you're always worried about that scenario. And then how long to the next one? I'll take my holiday during that period. But my view is that I prefer to have fresh people on my projects rather than tired people on my projects. And it is incumbent on us as people who are leaders, when we've got people who aren't taking their leave, to actually spot that and say it's people. So I think it is something that we should insist that people do take time to break. But and if people are ill, the same scenario, because it's something I always say to people, if they're poorly, I'm going, right, I don't want to see you until you're well. I don't want you, and that's only, it's absolute selfish, because I don't want you half efficient for 6 weeks when I can lose you for a week and then have you back full for the 5 weeks. It's all selfish. I don't care about you. That's what I tell them anyway. But it is about that, and being, and mental health is the same situation. I mean, and I think obviously from the timing of when you said that was now, 8 years on, 9 years on, whatever, the awareness and self-awareness of mental health is way above what it was back then. I wouldn't have even imagined having the conversation about me having mental health problems back then, even in the supportive environment I was working in. So I think it through lessons learned, and through the more we talk about it as a society, and any of us who've gone through it, the more we talk to people about it, the better, because then it helps everyone remove the stigma and helps everyone talk about, yeah, I'm having a down day today. Right, that's good. We know you're having a down day. The same as if you're no different to if someone turns around and says, oh, I'm full of cold. But they're the same thing. but the one can actually be a lot more problematic than if I'm full of cold.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I think that's a fantastic piece of advice you've given there. So final question, honest, and I'll let you get on with your evening then. Thinking about you on that first day with your first project, you've gone back in a time machine, whether it's in a TARDIS or some kind of thing on Umbrella Academy or some other sci-fi movie where we have time travel. And you're, what's the one thing you would tell you on that day?
I would tell myself to question everything, because I didn't.
Yeah, great.
And I accepted everything.
I know that feeling. Yeah.
Didn't necessarily get me, you know, the best deal, I don't think, but there we go.
Yeah, that's a really good piece of advice. It's just that it's a couple of weeks ago I was talking to someone about the use of the word why, and that's the power of that four-year-old's word in projects. Is when you're trying to work out why you're doing a project, kind of, well, why are we doing this? Why are we doing it that way? Why do they want that? It's amazing how if you ask that why enough times, suddenly you go, we're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
We're going the wrong direction. It's the wrong timing, because you've got to dig down to that why, haven't you? Well, that's brilliant. Victoria, thank you very much for coming on the show. I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, thank you.
If people want to get hold of you, find out more, grab hold of some of your stuff, what's the best way to get in touch?
That will be via LinkedIn.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And you're Victoria Jane on there, or are you Victoria? You know, you're Victoria McKenna on there.
Victoria McKenna, yeah.
Yeah,
I was just double checking myself.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's it. You only ever click on view my profile if you want to check something, and you don't search for yourself, do you? Yeah, we're all the same. I suppose that's it. Thank you very much for your time and giving me so much time on this, and such an interesting and I know quite difficult conversation at times through that, I imagine. But I'm sure that all my listeners are going to find some inspiration, some thoughts and some advice and understanding about where they are maybe in that kind of journey. So I really appreciate you being so open just open in the conversation. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Have a fantastic rest of your evening.
Thanks. Thank
Cheers
you.
Now. Well, I hope you enjoyed that second part of that interview with Victoria. It's a fascinating story. Real food for thought about us all thinking in the project management role where our health is paramount. We need to look after it. But sometimes things just hit you from sideways, and then it's how you deal with that afterwards. So look after yourselves and speak next time. Bye. Wow, you made it this far. I'm guessing that you enjoyed the show if you have. Or maybe you've just left it playing in the background and forgot it was on. But if you did enjoy it, and you're inclined to, I'd be delighted if you could share the show with your colleagues. It's discoverability with podcasts is quite difficult, especially with a niche one like this. But sharing with your colleagues and letting them have a chance to listen to these fantastic guests would be brilliant. If you've got time, a review on whatever platform you listen to it on would be great too, especially if it's a 5-star one. Again, that makes it easier for people to discover the show when they're searching on there, because comments raise it up the old search engine optimization on all the different tools. If you are feeling flush, I have a couple of ways you could contribute. One is Patreon, patreon.com/SundayLunchPM, and you could donate some money to the podcast that way, or you can jump along to my website, nigelcreaser.com, www.nigelcreaser.com, and click on the link to the shop, and in there you've got all my books that I've created in the varying different guises, a number of different ways you can grab a copy of those. And down the bottom I've got the my guests' books. So everyone who's been on here, if they've had a book, I've got a link to their book in there, and Amazon give me a little bit back for when someone buys from them. But more importantly, if you come back next time and listen, I'll be delighted. So I'll leave you alone and let you get on with your day now. Thank you. Bye.
Well, it's goodbye from me, Nigel Creaser, and it's goodbye from him, the Sunday Lunch PM. Goodbye.
Hi, and welcome to the Sunday Lunch Project Manager podcast for Sunday, the 9th of October, 2022. This is your host, Nigel Creaser, and this week we've got the second part of my interview with Victoria McKenna, the fashionable project manager.